It's 7:43 on this West Virginia morning. I'm Teresa Wills. This morning we visit a toy shop in Wetzel County.
I like to tell the kids, you know, can you remember before Walmart and plastics? And there wasn't necessarily a store to go to. Grandmom or granddad or dad or mom made the toys from what was readily available.
We'll hear about a store where they're keeping that tradition alive coming up on this West Virginia morning. Union coal miners and retirees breathed a collective sigh of relief after the U.S. Senate passed a spending bill that includes support for miners' pensions. The bill, which funds the federal government for the coming year, will now go to the president's desk, where he is expected to sign it ahead of the Friday deadline. As Becca Schimmel reports, that legislation secures pension and health benefits for retirees.
The United Mine Workers says about 82,000 retirees and widows could have lost some or all of their retirement benefits in 2020 without congressional action. The union spent years fighting for what they call a moral promise the federal government made to coal miners to provide for them from cradle to grave. The legislation shores up miners' retirement benefits through increased contributions from a fund related to the Abandoned Mine Lands Program. UMW spokesperson Phil Smith praised the passage of the spending bill and the bipartisan American Miners Act.
It's a very good day for and good week for retired coal miners and their widows and their families. You know, we have come to what we hope to be the conclusion of an almost decade-long fight to preserve pensions.
The previous version of this legislation included increasing a tax that helps fund the Black Lung Disability Trust Fund, but that was removed from the bill. For the Ohio Valley Resource, I'm Becca Schimmel.
In Floyd County in eastern Kentucky, authorities continue to investigate the fatal shootings of some 13 horses. Detective Kevin Shepard says the horses were found spread out over a four-mile radius. He says the owner of a half a dozen of the horses said care was also being offered to the other six or so. Shepard called the crime a rare activity.
There's been other things happen on strip jobs around here with livestock and horses, but not to this extent. Never. I've been 15 years working in Floyd County. I've never seen anything like this before.
Shepard says there have been tips coming into the sheriff's office, but there are currently no suspects. The detective says the Humane Society has offered up a substantial amount of money for information about the case. Toys are a big business across the country. Even though big brick-and-mortar stores like Toys R Us are closed for business, Americans buy billions of dollars worth of toys each year. Most of the toys we buy are made in China. And while video games are expected to rise, a different trend in toys is also on the rise. Eco-friendly toys, made of simple ingredients that use no plastic. Inside Appalachia's Folkways reporter Zach Harold found out there are still some businesses here in Appalachia that make those old-style wooden toys, like Mountain Craft Shop Company in Wetzel County, West Virginia.
When I was a kid, the thing that intrigued me most about Santa wasn't the beard, or the flying reindeer, or the repeated breaking and entering. No, I was fascinated by his workshop. I love to imagine elves working tirelessly on toys that would end up under Christmas trees around the world, but you know, I never once imagined them making the season's hottest toys. Instead, I pictured Santa's little helpers building toys with good old-fashioned wood and glue. I imagined a shop filled with the smell of sawdust and the sound of pop guns. Turns out, my visions looked a lot like what I found in Proctor, West Virginia, the headquarters of the Mountain Craft Shop Company, which has been turning out traditional handmade Appalachian folk toys since the early 1960s. The tree-shaded workshop used to be an elementary school. Now, one side of the building is filled with power saws and a wood lathe, bottles of Elmer's glue, and slabs of locally sourced hardwood. The other side, the shop showroom, is filled with toys your great-grandparents would probably recognize.
I like to tell the kids, you know, can you remember before Walmart and plastics? And there wasn't necessarily a store to go to buy toys. So grandmom or granddad or dad or mom made the toys from what was readily available. Sticks that they found out back, little pieces of wood, pieces of string, little bits of leather.
That's Steve Conlon, who runs the business with his wife Ellie. A few months back, he gave me a tour of the property, which he calls Wetzel County's only amusement park. Putting down his pop gun, Conlon picks up a toy shaped like a capital letter L. He holds it by the short end and whips it around in the air.
We call this a rattle trap, and all this noise is generated from a tongue depressor and this little cogged wheel here. I tell them it sounds better in a van.
Then he picks up that old toy where you try to catch a ball on a string in a cup.
And this actually dates back to 1580 in England. Good for eye-hand coordination.
How long did it take you to get it on the third try?
I should be able to get it on the first try.
Next, he moves over to a low table and palms a handful of marbles, manufactured about 20 miles away at the Marble King factory in Payton City.
We make a variety of marble toys. And this one is interesting. We call it a musical marble tree. It's about 30 inches tall, and it has pieces of wood, leaves, that stick out on either side. So there's 30 leaves up and down this tree, and we drop a marble, and the marbles go from one leaf to the next leaf. Makes a wonderful noise, don't you think?
The Conlons make all these toys, and dozens more models, in their tiny shop, which is open to visitors. They also sell their toys in gift shops around West Virginia and surrounding states, and at Tamarack in Beckley. But they did not come to West Virginia to be toy makers. They wanted to be farmers.
Well, we moved here in 1974 from Philadelphia, and we brought with us a couple beehives in the back of the U-Haul truck, and I was just fascinated with bees, and we tried chickens and cows and every other agricultural pursuit, and bees kept kind of rising to the top. So it evolved into us owning a lot of beehives and needing other locations to keep them.
They placed some of their hives on the property of a neighbor named Dick Shinaki. He was a mechanical engineer by trade and worked at the aluminum plant in nearby New Martinsville. But he also taught himself to make traditional folk toys. Research wasn't easy, though.
But very little was really recorded.
This is Shinaki appearing on a West Virginia Department of Culture and History television program back in 1978.
You see, toys were not considered to be anything but trifles all through the ages until just the last few years.
Still, Shinaki forged ahead. He eventually compiled two books on folk toys. He also spun his passion into a small business, the Mountain Craft Shop Company. Shinaki handled all the research, development, marketing, and sales, but, kind of like Kris Kringle himself, turned manufacturing over to a team of elves. Again, here's Steve Conlon.
He actually didn't make any of the toys himself, but he had probably 10 people who were making the different toys at home, people who were buying their farm by making toys to be sold.
Through the years, Shinaki grew the company's inventory to include more than 200 traditional toys. But by 2002, he was getting older and looking to get out of the toy business. So he sold the Mountain Craft Shop Company to an enterprising couple who could keep his legacy alive, his friends the Conlons.
That's an excerpt from the story from this weekend's holiday episode of Inside Appalachia. It's part of our Folkways reporting project. You can hear all of that story and more this Sunday at 7 o'clock in the morning or 6 in the evening on West Virginia Public Broadcasting. You can find more Appalachian folk life, arts, and culture on our website, wvpublic.org/InsideAppalachia. Asheville, North Carolina-based roots pop group River Wireless brings us our Mountain Stage Song of the Week, Born in the Right Country.
I am your new king. Can't you see the teeth laid in this crown? Past now is present. I am the inside and you're out. Baby, a secret. Manufactured truth is easy to sell when you own the factory and you own the hearts of the clientele. Can I truly blame you? We're built on a system where some must fail, so that you can break through if you've got the right skin. Born in the right country. Are you born in the right country? No, no. Don't you know you're lucky, kid? Well, you were raised on the right side of the town. Born rich, now you're the LA. I am the inside and you're out. Can I truly blame you? We're built on a system where some must fail, so that you can break through if you've got the right name. You've got the right God. Oh, you're born in the right country.
That was our Mountain Stage Song of the Week, Born in the Right Country from River Wireless. You can hear the whole set from River Wireless, plus performances from Martha Scanlon and others on this week's encore episode of Mountain Stage. Tune in Friday and Saturday nights at 8 right here on West Virginia Public Broadcasting. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from West Virginia University, Concord University, and Shepherd University. Our Appalachia Health News Project is made possible with support from CAMC and Marshall Health. West Virginia Morning is produced with help from Caitlin Tan, Jessica Lilly, Carol Lofton, Liz McCormick, Dave Mistich, Brittany Patterson, Eric Douglas, Corey Nollinger, Emily Allen, and Roxy Todd. Our news director is Jesse Wright. Our producer is Glennis Board. I'm Teresa Wills.